Americans consistently rate nurses as the most trusted profession in the country. That's probably accounts for some of the success of Nurse Family Partnership. NFP has been growing its community health program across the country that focuses on first-time moms and their babies.
It begins in pregnancy before the 28th week of pregnancy and goes up until the child turns age 2. There is no financial cost to this. Mm-hmm. However, there is a commitment to being available for in-person visits that began early in pregnancy and goes up until the child turns age 2.
Sharon Sprinkle is a registered nurse and the co-director of nursing practice for Nurse Family Partnership. Jenny Harper is a Washington veteran and government affairs director for Nurse Family Partnership.
We continue to have different evaluations done. We're continuing to innovate the program and the model and look at how we can best serve families and communities, you know, many years later. And so, you know, we have continued research coming out on different aspects of the program.
This is Conversations on Healthcare.
Sharon Sprinkle and Jenny Harper with the Nurse Family Partnership, welcome to Conversations on Healthcare.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Sharon, maybe we start with you. I suspect there are some in our audience who yearn for the old days when doctors made house calls, but Nurse Family Partnership is in that spirit, I think. NFP focuses on helping first-time parents succeed right in their homes. I wonder if you could just share with our audience how it works.
Sure, absolutely happy to do that. As you know, you said mentioned it a couple of times that Nurse Family Partnership is an evidence-based community health program with over 45 years of research showing significant improvements in the health and lives of first-time moms and their children affected by social and economic inequality. How do we do that? We do that by aiming for 3 overarching goals, which is to improve pregnancy outcomes by partnering moms with nurses to focus on improving their health-related behaviors, such as cessation of smoking, improving their diets, going to their prenatal visits. A second goal of ours is to improve child health and development by assisting parents to understand normal child growth and development so that they can provide healthy and competent care. And the third goal is to improve economic self-sufficiency of a family by supporting the client to create a vision for what she wants her future to be, either completing school or continuing in work. So nurses meet families in the home, where the action is, where they live, to be able to provide support to achieve these 3 overarching goals.
Sharon, that's so great. Tell me, is this free? Is there any income eligibility? And I understand this continues into the child's, is it second birth date?
It is. It begins in pregnancy before the 28th week of pregnancy and goes up until the child turns age 2. There is no financial cost to this. Mm-hmm. However, there is a commitment to being available for in-person visits that began early in pregnancy and goes up until the child turns age 2. We focus on economically disadvantaged families. We use the term low income. And that we use Medicaid as a proxy in terms of determining eligibility. So not only eligibility in the terms of income, but other social factors that can impede healthy pregnancy, such as age, such as education, such as substance abuse, all of those things that are that can adversely impact a healthy outcome. Those overlapping adversities that get in the way of healthy pregnancies and healthy child rearing.
Well, Jenny, David Olds is the person considered the visionary founder of Nurse Family Partnership. And I understand that he got his inspiration after working at a daycare center. Share the founding story of your organization with us.
Absolutely. So Dr. David Olds had graduated from Johns Hopkins and he was working at a daycare in the inner city. And he was working with kids who, you know, were experiencing a lot of those overlapping adversities that Sharon was talking about and, you know, seeing the impacts that were already happening on those kids at that point. And so he thought, how can we move as far upstream as possible to really provide this, you know, prevention and intervention for these families? And so that led him to designing Nurse Family Partnership and beginning in that prenatal period. To get to those families as soon as possible. And so originally there was there were trials done in Elmira, New York, in Memphis, Tennessee, and in Denver, Colorado, to test the model and to look at how it was achieving the results that he thought it could. And so those trials were really successful, and in 1996 began implementing the program more widely across the country. And today, Nurse Family Partnership is in 40 states, plus DC, US Virgin Islands, and a number of tribal communities.
And was David Olds a just recent grad teacher, clinician? What did he bring to this that allowed him to have these insights?
I mean, he's his background is in pediatrics. He's currently a professor of pediatrics. So that's what he really brought to it.
I see.
Jenny, I want to pull the thread on the trials that happened, but also the Nurse Family Partnership Program has been independently reviewed and evaluated. Were those part of the trial or were they separate? I'm wondering if you could just take us through the findings that led experts to say this home visiting program really works.
Great question. And there's been a lot of different independent review, I would say, over the years. The trials in particular had specific outcomes that they were looking at. And I think some of the main outcomes that we talk about from that were reductions in child abuse and neglect, reductions in ER visits due to accidents and poisoning, reductions in speech delays, reductions in behavioral problems, increases in months employed, and then reductions in arrests of the mother as well as of the children. And so those were some of the main outcomes that I think really led to the then trying to bring this more widely. Since then, there's been a lot of additional look at things like the cost, the return on investment, looking at how the program, dollars invested in the program have return on investment. So we continue to have different evaluations done. We're continuing to innovate the program and the model and look at how we can best serve families and communities, many years later. And so we have continued research coming out on different aspects of the program.
I would think the return on investment would be important to Medicaid partners and others across the country and how successful has it been for you?
It's been very successful. I think it's always hard to get those exact numbers sometimes that I think policymakers always want to have. But we've begun really expanding Medicaid financing for home visiting programs over the last many years now, and looking at how we can find those billing pathways in states, and it looks very different state by state. But we know a lot of those costs associated with, a child being in the NICU for an extended amount of time, or a child having an ER visit, are some really high dollar costs, to the Medicaid program. And so we know when we can have avoidance of those, or reductions in those, that, the program does have a really strong return on investment.
Well, let me ask a question really to either of you. I haven't heard within our discussion so far whether there is a screening qualifier threshold for risk factors, social circumstances, adverse social determinants of health that lead one to be referred. Is it a referral process because someone has determined that there are concerns or more risk? Is it really open to anybody in a community? Tell us about that.
So
Grandma Angie.
that's a great question, Margaret, and thank you for asking it. We support network partners across the 40 states and the District of Columbia and tribal communities that Jenny mentioned. And it's at the network partner level where the referral is generated from to Nurse Family Partnership. And the characteristics, overlapping characteristics that I mentioned earlier were age, educational level, substance abuse issue, substance misuse or abuse issues, as well as other overlapping adversities. We ask our network partners to look for three or more of those overlapping adversities and social determinants of health that you mentioned, because research has found that those are the families that are going to benefit, get the greatest benefit from NFP intervention when you have three or more of those overlapping characteristics. We recently just refined our criteria, our recruitment criteria, in terms of providing 13 different characteristics that referral sources should look for, screen for, before referring to Nurse Family Partnership.
Sharon, let me ask a follow-up to that. Is it that a mom goes through the third-party agency, or can they sign up on their own? And I'm wondering, just in general, how you deal with, individuals perhaps reluctance to sign up. What are your strategies around that? But first of all, the pathway from, if there's a mom listening in now, is this a direct, or is there a third-party player here that they'd sign up with?
It's usually a third-party provider. However, they can sign up directly. Most referrals at the local level come through obstetricians, come through WIC, come through various social service agencies that our moms typically go to for support, or NFP moms, or a mom that's pregnant typically goes to for support, looking for resources such as Medicaid, WIC, obstetricians, word of mouth from a current or past NFP participant.
So those are the
NFP.
So those are the independent groups you work with. A WIC program might be the somebody who would be your strategic partner.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Shelters, as well as shelters, any agency that support homeless individuals can refer as well.
Well, it seems like there's another outcome that I've read about that I found very fascinating, which is that 82% of the parents engaged in this program who receive the benefit see an increase in the sort of their months of employment throughout this, I think, pregnancy and early childhood period, which of course is a help in terms of financial stability for the family. I don't think the nurses are doing employment counseling. So I'm curious, what do you, with all of your expertise, what do you think is connected to that particular outcome? What's the connection there?
So one of the core tenets of nurse family partnership is really meeting the family where they are and helping that person identify what we call the client's heart's desire. So if the client's heart's desire is to seek employment, we work with the nurse, work with the client to explore what excites the client about employment, what type of employment is the client look for, and then they work together to create that vision that the client has created in their mind in terms of what they want to do with employment and or education.
Boy,
so it's a partnership. It's a partnership in helping move forward workforce employment.
You know, one, to both of you, Sharon and Jenny, what an exciting program. And to lead with nurses is so important. But all of a sudden, the pandemic rolls around and we have lost 100,000 nurses. We have this huge shortage that's happening in the country. It must have caused an enormous amount of gyrations within your organization. I'm wondering how you dealt with that. And are there other players, that community health workers, peer counselors, or others that you've tested with that might be equally effective, though obviously nurses are the foundation of the program. But given all the changes that have happened societally, what's happening in terms of the organization internally as you're trying to adjust to these changes?
Great question. I'll start, and Jenny, please chime in. We see nurse family partnership as part of a continuum of care as it relates to early childhood development and prenatal care. I think we were uniquely positioned during the pandemic because telehealth has been a part of NFP intervention since 2017. So it was easy for us to pivot to telehealth because it was already a part of the model. We took that framework or our experience in delivering the model through telehealth, made some revisions in terms of recruitment efforts, as well as delivering the model virtually.
Yeah, I would add the workforce shortage has been an issue certainly for us. And, you know, one of the things that we know is when our families have the best outcomes from going through the program, it's because they have that same nurse for the duration of the program. So, you know, it's really important to retain, you know, the nurses that are in the program. We also see nurses leave the hospital setting to come work for Nurse Family Partnership or to work for the network partners who are implementing Nurse Family Partnership, you know, because they're able to use the full scope of their clinical practice and work with these families for this duration of time and really see that benefit. Another issue has, you know, been the compensation, certainly. And, you know, when there's a lot of competing you know, jobs for nurses. It's been a priority for us to try to increase the funding in a number of these programs that support Nurse Family Partnerships so that, you know, compensation can be addressed as well.
Well, I have so many questions for you, but let me just ask this one that's been on my mind. Certainly, since you were founded 45 years ago, the needs of mothers and their children have been in front and center of many discussions, but certainly in the last couple of years, it's been about maternal mortality. And it's been about maternal mortality, particularly in the within the childbirth period and the year afterwards, and particularly among our African-American population. And I'm curious, with all the effort that's been brought to bear on that, has that led to a renewed focus on nurse family partnerships and the kind of empowerment work that you do in making sure that women have the tools to speak up for themselves and to communicate their needs and their concerns?
I would say absolutely. Agency is really important in helping clients voice their concerns and also supporting clients around health literacy, as well as helping expecting parents to understand the signs and symptoms of preterm labor or any adverse symptoms that they may have. Part of what we do is use our nursing knowledge around maternal child health issues to help educate the client so that they in turn can be better advocates for themselves as they navigate the health and human services arena.
You know, I'd be interested in sort of the finance model behind the program. And just remind me, are all of the encounters done by telehealth? Are there any face-to-face encounters?
We're almost entirely back at face-to-face.
Okay, you are now back. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some things are done via telehealth. It provides some flexibility, certainly, particularly when we're serving families in maybe rural areas or through inclement weather type situations. But in general, we're back in person.
Great. And then is that the main source of revenue, or are there grants supporting the work that you're doing as well?
The way that we're structured is, so we're a part of the National Service Office. So we're, you know, where the model is housed. We are helping to provide, you know, support and funding and training and technical assistance and all that. But the program is implemented through what we call our network partners. And those can range from a federally qualified health center to a county public health agency to a hospital system. And they're the ones who are, you know, having the funding for the program. And that can be a variety of different funding streams. You know, largely that's funding from the Maternal Infant Early Childhood Home Visiting Program, or MCVE as it's known, which is a federal program that grants money to states to implement home visiting programs. Also a lot of Medicaid financing. There's a lot of state line items supporting home visiting, sometimes specifically NFP across the country. And we also have funding support from philanthropic supporters as well.
So Medicaid, is it approved in all states for a Medicaid encounter?
No. So the way Medicaid works right now is essentially Medicaid can support some components of the Nurse Family Partnership Program, but not holistically the whole program. And so, you know, more of the clinical pieces as opposed to some of the, you know, care coordination side of it. And so state by state, it looks very different. States have found very sometimes creative ways to finance home visiting services through Medicaid. A lot of times using waivers, using targeted case management, and then have different reimbursement rates set up per visit. There's a lot of, you know, challenges sometimes that it only begins, you know, paying reimbursement once the child's born, or, you know, before the child is born, or up until the child is born. So, you know, we're looking at how we can streamline that better. But right now, I would say there's about 20, you know, just over 20 states where there's a Medicaid billing pathway that covers some portion of the nurse family.
Is there a best practice state you like to point to and say, hey, everybody should follow this state, or what?
There's a few out there. I mean, Alabama is a state that's really done a lot to, have a really nice reimbursement rate that covers more or less, the fully burdened cost of the
Wonderful.
program.
Yeah.
Idaho is another state that's done a lot in the past few years and is working on kind of getting all of the different components of it right. Pennsylvania is a state that's done a lot with Medicaid financing. Ohio actually is another state that's really expanded nurse family partnership through Medicaid. So there's a lot out there, but there's a lot of work to be done still.
Well, Sharon, Jenny just mentioned a number of programs, and they fit together. It seems like maybe under nurse family partnership, but I'd be curious if you could tell us a little bit about the Child First program. It's a program we've certainly heard about in our area of the country. I understand it's maybe more oriented towards mental health, behavioral health services, but tell us what Child First is and how the nurses of Nurse Family Partnership would work together with Child First, or is it an either or?
So they're two distinct programs. They're both evidence-based home visiting programs. Child First is much more on the mental and behavioral health side. So they're programs that are both, considered eligible for the maternal infant early childhood home visiting program, and can receive funding through a lot of the same types of sources. But what Child First does, so it's a distinct program from Nurse Family Partnership. So it's not being administered by Nurse Family Partnership nurses. So in Child First case, you've got a master's level mental health clinician, as well as a care coordinator working with the family. That can begin anywhere from prenatal through the child's 6th birthday. And a lot of times that team is working with that family for the duration of about 9 months to a year. That can, vary. A lot of times it's a more intensive duration of meeting the family, sometimes several times a week. It provides child parent psychotherapy as part of the intervention. And it's really, similarly to Nurse Family Partnership, it's looking at the holistic needs of the family, right? It's not just kind of the clinical side. It's also really getting into those social determinants of health. But yes, a lot of times it's really focused on children who've experienced adverse childhood experiences, families who've experienced trauma, and providing that support to, build resilient, strong relationships between that child and the caregiver. So I should also add, Child First is in 7 states currently. It was developed in Connecticut. And about 3 years ago, Child First came on board with Nurse Family Partnership. So we have this overarching national office that supports both programs. And what we're trying to do is help Child First grow and have a similar footprint to Nurse Family Partnership moving forward. There are some states where we are, working to co-locate Nurse Family Partnership and Child First programs. There might be families that, would benefit from receiving Nurse Family Partnership services and then moving on to Child First services. It's going to look different, but we want to have kind of a variety of programs and interventions that can support families and, having the right program for the right family at the right time.
Well, we're proud that we're in Connecticut and have a great deal of experience with Child First. It's such a remarkable program, as is the Nurse Family program as well. But Sharon, I want to ask you to tell us about the importance of moms advocating for themselves and others like them. How is that occurring through your Parent Ambassador program? And maybe tell our listeners what the results are that you're seeing so far.
We have a wonderful Hope Parent Ambassador program that is led by a former NFP client. They receive trainings and education on how to advocate for themselves and for Nurse Family Partnership. They've gone to Capitol Hill several times. They meet frequently to talk about issues around advocacy, and it's working wonderfully. I can't speak more highly of it. It's a great way of giving back. They really understand Nurse Family Partnership because they were former participants in the program, so they know how it works. They know how it feels. They understand the relationship that the nurse and the client has. They understand the need for funding to sustain NFP, and who better to speak to the benefits of NFP other than someone who has actually received the services of NFP. And any parent ambassador will tell you that the nurse and the relationship with the nurse made the difference in terms of where they are today. Some parent ambassadors will tell you that the nurse literally saved their lives. It is a component of the program that was long overdue and has made a huge return on investment since it was inducted into Nurse Funding Partnership, incepted into Nurse Funding Partnership.
Well, Jenny, we recently talked to the chief medical advisor at the Bipartisan Policy Center, and it strikes me, this is very much in line with what you're saying, that home visiting programs for mothers and babies might be one of the few nonpartisan issues that we have going in the country these days. They seem to attract support on both sides of the aisle. And I wonder if that really is still true. Do you find this funding, issues always being present, but do you find this generally to be a truly bipartisan issue that people recognize the need for these programs?
It really is. And, even over the past couple decades, as partisanship has, been more rampant, nurse family partnership and home visiting programs in general have continued to enjoy a strong amount of bipartisan support. I think everything from the way the McVie program was structured, makes a lot of sense to people on both sides of the aisle. It has those components of, really just strong funding that has a lot of evidence and rigor to it. So we know that those dollars are going to be invested in what works. And I think people have just seen the impact of what these programs have done in their own communities. And that's and like Sharon said, when we bring our parent ambassadors and other program advocates to the Hill, people understand the value of it. And some people might see it more as we like this for the maternal health aspects of it. Some people might see it more as we like it for the economic mobility aspects of it. But there's really something for everyone. And we had a recent, at the end of the last Congress, there was a bipartisan reauthorization of the McVie program, and it had overwhelming support at a time that was really challenging to get legislation through. It had overwhelming support.
And if I could
So,
just add, investing in home visiting is investing in a brighter future for America, I believe.
well, I think you're both spot on in terms of building bipartisan support. It's a program that helps all Americans across the country, no matter where you live or your political persuasions. But Sharon, I want to focus in on the moms who might be listening and close with this quote from your founder, David Olds. He says there's magic window during pregnancy, a time when the desire to be a good mother and raise a healthy and happy child creates motivation to overcome incredible obstacles, including poverty, with the help of well-educated nurses. And I'm just thinking about the mom who might be listening to the conversation. What's the first step to bring NFP to their community?
So bringing NFP to a community involves community support. It involves an organization deciding that they want to bring NFP to their community. That's where it begins. Utilizing the Health and Human Services arena as a referral source is the pathway to get to NFP. Moms by themselves can go out if they're parent ambassadors or have received NFP services and ask about NFP. Why don't you have NFP in our community? They can reach out to their legislators to ask, where's NFP in our community? We need NFP in our community.
Well, community health centers, federally qualified health centers all across America, the majority of their boards are patients and moms. So there's a lot of power in the voices of moms, whether they're through their community action program, their WIC program, their community health center program. You're absolutely right. Those voices will be heard when they speak up.
Sharon Sprinkle and Jenny Harper with Nurse Family Partnership, thank you for your inspiring work. And thanks to our audience for being here. Be sure to subscribe to our videos on YouTube, find us on Facebook and X with our account name, CHC Radio. And as always, you can go online to chcradio.com to sign up for email updates and also share your thoughts and your comments about this program. Sharon and Jenny, thank you so much for being here and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This copyrighted program is produced by Conversations on Healthcare and cannot be reproduced or retransmitted in whole or in part without the express written consent from Community Health Center, Inc. The views expressed by guests are their own, and they do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Conversations on Healthcare or its affiliated entities.